good. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Okay. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're not only here, but you're everywhere at the same time. So, Lord, you're in Oklahoma right now, and Lord, we're just thanking you that Billy's mama, Lord, is in your hands. Lord, she loves you. She knows you. We ask you to give the doctors wisdom, Father, but we just proclaim life to her. Father, we thank you, Lord, for just being with her and helping her to come through this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory to God. The last few weeks we've been talking about renewing your mind. And I thought I was done, but I'm not. So we're going to continue on that. And our main scripture that we looked at was Romans chapter 12, where it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And I just want to say this, that if you want to change the outcome of your life, this is the description that God gives on how to do it, or the prescription, the medicine for you to change your life, right? He said, do not be conformed or pressed in or pushed in to the mold that the world would like to have you in, but be transformed. Or the word is metamorphosis. It's like, and I love the picture of the caterpillar crawling up into the tree and getting in the cocoon, but when it comes out of the cocoon, it's a butterfly, right? And so that's the process of the Word of God changing you. Now, a lot of people, and this is true, that a lot of people try to substitute prayer. Prayer's good. They try to substitute fasting. If I fast enough, maybe things will change. If I pray enough, things will change. But I'm saying for you and me, God said, if you want to change, then you have to change the way you think. Right? And again, it says, again, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the perfect will of God. Right? So the will of God is known as we renew our mind to the Word of God. Again, people get off because they try to fast their way to know the will of God. And there's nothing wrong with fasting, right? Fasting has a place. They want to pray that they could get and know the will of God. But the reality is, without the Word of God as your source, as your base, as your foundation, then you can get off even having people pray over you about His will. Right? Come on. This is dramatic, but I remember one lady was saying, I'm believing God. I'm praying. I know it's God's will for me to marry that woman's husband. Right? Now, as silly as that sounds, other things like that can happen. Right? When you don't have a foundation in the Word of God, and the Word of God is your compass, right? So tonight, if you'll go with me to Proverbs 27, and we're going to start with this. Proverbs 23, excuse me. Proverbs 23. I almost read Psalm 23, which would have been good, but it's not what we wanted. The 23rd Proverb. And we're going to focus on verse 7, but I think I'm going to start in verse 6. It said, "Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but in his heart is not with you." So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are a product of your thinking. Let me say that again. You are a product of your thinking, but not just the thoughts that are coming across your mind, but the foundation of how you think. Did you know that all of us come from a way of thinking? And they're different, like different cultures think differently about different things, right? If you were raised in an abusive home, then you have a way of thinking about authoritative people, right? And that's where you go back to. That's your source of all your thinking, and so your whole life is framed by that, right? And if you want to get that change so that you have more security, like in the love of God, you've got to get into the Word of God, find where the Word of God says what God says about you, and change your source of thinking to what His thinking is, right? And again, this is so important because, watch this, we always act out what we're thinking. That source of thinking, in some way or another, it's going to come out. It's going to affect everything that we do. For instance, if you're a person who always comes from the standpoint, I was rejected back then, I'm rejected now, I'm going to continue to be rejected, that's how your life will go out. And actually, you'll invite rejection. Right? But that can be changed. It's so wonderful. It's so powerful that we can take the Word of God and find out what He says about us, and not anything extraordinary outside of the Word, but inside of the Word, this is what He says. So again, what is thinking? I mean, this is really deep, but thinking are thoughts, right? You're thinking different thoughts. And how many know that thoughts come at us all the time? Now, men have about half as many thoughts as women, right? Because we're just not that deep, right? We're just not that, you know, you can ask a man, what are you thinking? He says, no. A woman says, that's impossible. But that's what we're thinking, nothing. We're not thinking anything, I mean, right? But the reality is we all have thoughts coming at us. And based on our foundation of thought is how we process the thoughts that come to us. For instance, again, if you think that you're not worthy of, that you're less than, and somebody comes and says, man, you're awesome, you'll filter their comments to you through your picture of who you are, because in your heart, as you think, that's who you are, right? But God wants to change that. God, through His Word, wants to change that. Who am I? I'm exactly who He says I am. No more and no less. But I can take the Word of God and begin to meditate on it, right? And it doesn't come, watch this, if you want transformational experience with God, it's not going to happen just because you have a verse put up on your mirror. Right? Or you know, you've got this daily devotional that you look at. That's great. But in order for the transforming power of it, you have to meditate on it till it becomes your reality more than the reality that you had before. Does that make sense? Because thoughts paint a picture on the inside of you. Whew. I'll tell you the story. I've told it before, but this man who had an experience where he went to heaven, and, you know, some people dismiss those, and I don't take them at the same level of authority that I take the Word, but they're kind of interesting sometimes. But here was his experience. He said he was before the Lord, and the Lord said, do you want to know or see how I see you? And like us, you're standing before the Holy of Holies, the one who is righteous and true, complete, and you go, he knows everything about me, right? He knows what I was thinking yesterday, right? He knows what I was doing yesterday. He knows when I messed up last week. No, thank you. You know, I mean, that would be your thing. I'm good. I'm good. You know, that's all right. But he said, the Lord showed him a picture of him, and actually, it was like a screen just opened up, and here he is, And he's displayed with this armor that is just glorious and stately. And there's just something about him. It's like that person that you know that walks into the room and you go, "Woo, look at that." It's because God has done a work in us in Christ, right? And so we have to get our thinking different. But if we don't like what's being produced in our lives, I'm telling you, the source of that is your thinking. And what are you thinking about? And what's your MO for thinking, right? And if you're always negative, then everything's going to be negative. If you're always looking at life through the lens of, "Oh, they're going to do it to me again," they probably will, because you're attracting that, right? But if I want to change that, if I don't like my life the way it is, then I have to get into the Word of God, be honest with God, have God show me my heart, because that's where the basis of everything is. Let's read this one more time. Verse 7. "Is for as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Now let me just give you a couple of definitions. To think means to split open, to reason out. Renita will write like this one, to reckon, right? Or to calculate. So to think means that you're putting things open, out in the open. You're just, you know, it's thoughts that are coming. It means to reason it out. It means to filter everything through that process. But your heart here is defined in the Hebrew as your soul, as yourself, as your life, as your appetite, your mind, your living being, your desire, your emotion, your passion. And I like this, the inner being of a man. So your heart is where you really are. And you can say things, and we all know that. We can say things or we can act certain ways around certain people. But in the core of who we are is where the change needs to happen. Right? I need to see myself different. I need to act differently. I need to do things differently. Years ago, I read a book, and it wasn't even a Christian book, but the theory was really, really good. He said, most of us think out of this position. We're thinking about how everything affects us, right? Because we're looking out here, right? We're looking at how things affect us. But if you can change that paradigm and understand that God has got you, I'm putting my words in here now, that God has got you, and that your whole life is going to be that I'm going to look at how everything affects everybody else. It changes everything. It changes everything. I haven't been as successful as this that I would like to be, but what I'm saying is even that thought being introduced to my heart changed the outcome of how I see things. Right? And so we have to get to the place where we're beginning to look at our own hearts and determine whether we like what we're thinking. And if we like the core of what we're thinking. If we like the things that are happening in our life, and especially if they're a repeatable thing that's happening over and over again, and we don't like that, then we need to get back into the Word and say, "God, help me with that. Help me with that." Let's go to Luke chapter 6. I want to tie this together with those thoughts that I just gave. But in Luke chapter 6, you know, there's a scripture in Isaiah, and it says that God's thoughts aren't man's thoughts. His ways are much higher than our ways. But you see, born-again Christians have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. And Jesus said that one of the things that the Holy Spirit living inside of us would do is that he would lead us into all truth. Okay, I might not know everything about God, or I might not know everything about the situation, but I can have confidence that the Holy Spirit inside of me, if I'll seek Him, He'll show me. Right? So how does that relate to this? It's like, Lord, I'm tired of beating my head into this wall all the time. Right? And so you go, okay. And the Lord says, well, how much do you want the change? Because the change is going to cost you something. Again, going back to Romans chapter 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, for renewing is renovation. Renovation. Years ago in the old church, we decided we wanted to remodel. And I had a view or a plan of how I wanted it to be, right? Well, before I could bring the new in, I had to get a big 5-yard dumpster and out in the building because I had to tear out what was there. So in order for the renovation or the renewing to happen, there was a point where I had to tear out what was there. And sometimes tearing out is not easy. And sometimes some of those nails that I had to pull out in order to get the boards out were really stubborn. And sometimes the crowbar didn't work. I had to get the sawzall and chop them off because they were that stubborn. So what am I saying? In light of us being changed by the renewing of our mind, we have to allow God to speak to us in such a way that we say, that needs to come out and it's going to hurt. Right? That needs to come out, but it's going to hurt. Years ago, Donnie, when she was having, she had the braces for her teeth and getting her teeth all straightened out, and they look beautiful by the way, that they're just awesome. But in order for that to happen, they had to go in and mess her jaw all up and wire her mouth shut, because in order for the new to come, the old had to be taken out. Right? So what I'm saying is that we may not like the process of going through it, but we're going to like the results if we'll allow God to do what He wants to do. Amen? Glory to God. But a lot of times we go, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. I want the change, but I don't want the pain. Right? I want the change, but I don't want the pain. Now, go to, again, in Luke chapter 6. And look at verse 45. It says, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So if you want to know what's in a person's heart, hang around them long enough and watch what's coming out of their mouth. Because what's coming out of their mouth, or what's coming out of our mouth, is an indicator of what's truly in our heart. And if what's coming out of our heart is not lining up with the Word of God, then we are in for a renovation if we're open to it. Right? And again, I'm talking about change, real change. Lord, I want to be closer to you next year than I am this year. And many of us, when we say that, we're saying, Lord, come down and zap me because I don't want to go through the process of change. Right? I just want to automatically do different and think different. And I'm not saying that God can't do some miraculous things, but the process that's outlined in the Word of God is there's a renovation that has to happen, and it has to come by the way that you're thinking. And if you don't like where you're at, watch what's coming out of your mouth, and it will be an indicator of where the problem is. Yeah. And so it's kind of like, and you think, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm better than I was last year. Well, that's okay. And we like growth, but don't stop. Because until we get where we know that God wants us to be, right, let's keep the renovation going on. I don't want to be conformed. I want to be transformed. And today we have lots of areas and bombardment of things that are feeding into our thinking. And then pretty soon, if you watch your mouth, it starts to come out. Right? And from as simple as language, but also the deep-rooted thoughts of where, you know, you've been. So what's my point? My point is this. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. And then get the Word of God in your mouth instead of what's coming out of your mouth. Right? And if you'll spend time with God and His Word, He'll transform your talking. Because your heart will change. Another example that I use, and I only have my examples to draw on, but you know, before I got saved, my language or my vocabulary had a lot of adjectives in them that were just not edifying, if you know what I'm saying, right? My mom slapped me one time because I said something just out, you know, just that I'd normally say to all my friends, and it wasn't to her liking, and it's like, whoa, we don't talk that way to your mother. Oh, yes, ma'am. And she was here, I was up here, and I was, you know, but yes, ma'am, that'll never happen again, and it never did. But watch this. It's like we need to come to the place where we're allowing God to change our speaking. So I'm up on this ladder, and I'm building this carport thing, and lived on a hill, so the peak of that thing was extended out probably 16 feet in the air, right? And I'm, you know, hammering and putting the siding up and everything, and I hit the wrong nail, if you know what I'm saying. I hit the wrong nail, right? Now, before I got saved, you'd have probably heard some words coming out of my mouth that would have rang throughout and everybody would have understood what happened. But because I'd spent time and I'd spent years at that point in the Word of God, in worship, in different things, what came out of my mouth as I'm crawling down that ladder in pain is, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But you see, the Word of God transformed the response that was automatic because the heart had changed. And so out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we want coming out of our mouth is what God is thinking, what God is saying. And the only way to do that is to line your thoughts up with His thoughts. Is that awesome? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, listen, the warfare that we're fighting is not carnal, but it's mighty through the God, through the pulling down of strongholds. And then he goes on to say, but you have to take every thought captive. What does that mean? You have to arrest the thoughts. You have to get a hold of the thoughts. How many have anybody here meditated on thought to where it continued to downward spiral you to a place where anger got elevated or depression got elevated or something? And what God is saying, that before you ever get there, the moment that you recognize that thought doesn't line up with the Word of God, you need to grab a hold of that, lasso it, rope it, whatever, and pull it out and say, no, I will not think like that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now watch this. It's so important that we begin to look at what's coming out of our mouth, but we'll know this, that what's coming out of my mouth is a product of what I've allowed myself to be thinking. And watch this. Your pastor can't do anything about that. God can't do anything about that. He's given you the resources for you to do something about that. He's given you the power of choice to be able to do something about that. But watch this. Once you make that choice, nobody can stop you. The devil can't stop you. Your mama can't stop you. Your husband can't stop you. No one can stop you because you've decided to get my thinking in line with God's thinking, right? Because you're in control of you. It's the power of choice. So the heart speaks. Go to Psalm 37. Y'all getting anything tonight? Psalm 37. Woo, glory to God. I think it's so cool that the God of the universe, the God that put everything where it is, and you just go outside and you go, wow. You know, that when it's clear out, that Big Dipper's in the same spot tonight, you know, and the moon, it travels the same way every the sun still, right, comes up in the east and sets in the west. It's amazing, right, how that all happens, because he knows what he's doing, and his reference points of thoughts are much better than mine. Who am I to argue with him, right? Psalm 37 and verse 30, it says, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. In other words, when we renew our mind to the Word of God and we get it to where that's the foundation of all of our thinking, then his wisdom will come out of our mouth. I was mentored under a man who, if you went up and asked him a question, he would say, well, the Word says. Well, the Bible says. Or if you said, well, you know, I've got this situation going on and I just need some advice. And he'd say, well, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? Right? Yeah. What does the Word say? What was he saying? He was saying, look it, you need to get your opinions from here. And so it doesn't matter what social media says. It doesn't matter what somebody else's opinion is once you've seen God's thoughts on it, then automatically that's my thought. Yeah, but that doesn't fit in today's society. Well, I'm sorry, but this is what God said, right? And if God said it, it's not even, there was a bumper sticker years ago, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, for me, you have to take out I believe it thing, because as far as I'm concerned, if God said it, that settles it. And I need to get my believing in line with what he said. Right? Because it's already settled. It's already settled. But with that heart condition and reconditioning your mind to the Word of God, then out of your mouth will come his wisdom. Years ago, my nephew was going through something, and it was, and my sister asked if I'd meet him for lunch, and which I was absolutely thrilled to do. He's not a Christian or whatever. He sat down and he said this to me. He said, Uncle Bruce, he said, you're one of the wisest men I know. You know, but the reality is the only reason that could even partially be true is because I'd spent time with the wisest person ever, right? And the Holy Ghost, and Christ has made unto me wisdom, and He gets all the glory. But the reason that I'm wiser than maybe some others is because I don't think the same way that others think. Because my thinking is in line with His Word. Does that make sense to you? And so, again, it's like, Lord, I need my thoughts to line up with Your thoughts. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So who are you? It's what you think, right? If you think everybody's against you, that's your thought. If you think that you're rejected, that's your thought. If you think that you're no good and you'll never amount to anything, that's who you are, right? But God wants to change all that because He wants you to begin to see yourself as He sees you. He sees you as holy. He sees you as redeemed. He sees you as blessed. He sees you. Come on. That's how He sees you, right? And then you begin to not only see yourself that way, but you begin to order your life that way. Years ago, I had to make a decision, and the decision, it was tough for me because it was like I had friends, Christian friends on this side and this side. It was like, well, the Word says this, the Word says that, and it was confusing to me. And I was just going, oh, my Lord, I'm so confused. And I went to a pastor, and I'd been to other people. I went up to him. I said, Pastor George, I don't know that you can help me, right? You probably aren't going to be able to help me. And he said, well, let's not limit the Holy Ghost. Let's not limit the Holy Ghost. And see, I had the thought spinning in my head of what this person said. And then I had my, this year, this person saying, and all these influential people, you know, converging on my mind. And he said, you pray in the Spirit, don't you? I said, yes, I do. And so he said, we're going to just start praying in the Spirit. And he said, I want you to be as loud as you want to be. So both of us are in his little office, and there's other offices in the church, but we're praying in the Holy Ghost loud. I mean, not quiet. And we did it for like 10 minutes. And he says, now just be quiet. And what that did, watch, it stopped this. And it stopped this so I could hear this. Right? Because out of here is where God wants to speak to us with His thoughts. And if we'll act on that, then we'll become more of who He wants, not only wants us to be, but has created us to be. And Jesus did the work so that we could be. Right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. Go to Psalm 144. Hallelujah. And as again, I think that we limit ourselves so much by confining our thoughts to influence other than what God has said, right? In other words, we live in a time where information comes at us from so many different directions, right? I'll just give you one. I'm not going to go into it long, but you could go into on YouTube and look up Christian apologetics, for instance. And you got this one saying this, and this one saying this, and this one saying this, and this one refuting this one, and this one refuting that one, and this one, and you know, or prophecy. There's another good one. And you can come out of there going, oh, my God. Right? Because you're bombarding your mind with what people are saying about the Bible instead of filling your heart with the Bible. And so it's like, shut all that off. Get quiet before God and begin to meditate on His Word. And that's where peace will come. Psalm 144 and verse 11. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners whose mouths speak lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehoods. In other words, if we want, in conjunction or in what I'm saying tonight, if we want to get God's perspective and have that change us so that our life is different, then we've got to be at the place where we start shutting off some of these other voices. Right? Some of these other voices. You can't let anybody else tell you who you are, but let God tell you who you are. And watch this. God isn't necessarily going to tell you that you're all that. Right? In fact, that same place in Romans chapter 12, where we're talking about not conformed, but transformed, the next verse it says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. In other words, don't think of yourself from your perspective, but think of yourself through my perspective. Right? And so coming with that, watch this. And so there's some positive, it's all positive, but there's some supposedly positive and some not so pleasant things, right? You know, Jesus said, if you want to look at yourself and you want to follow me, then you have to crucify your flesh. Oh, that's fun, right? But in other words, that's saying it's not what you think, but you've got to conform your life to what I think. And here's another one that I get from God, but I also hear my mom's voice speaking to me. I used to go to my mom when something was happening or she didn't necessarily agree with what I was thinking, and I would say something like, well, Mike's mom lets him, right? And her response was, I'm not Mike's mom, right? I'm your mother, and you're not going to, right? And so it's like, Lord, you're my final authority. And so it doesn't matter what they say, right or wrong. Let me help you. Again, because my beautiful bride is on the front row, right? The Bible tells me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And it doesn't matter how she acts. I have to submit myself to the Word. Right? The Bible tells her to respect and honor me, but it's not my job to make her do it. That's between her and her father. She does a great job, by the way, just as a side note. But watch this. Yeah, but watch this. We need to be at the place where it doesn't matter what somebody else's liberty is or perceived liberty. This is the truth in my heart that God has put on my heart. Let me just give you a couple of examples so that I can burn this in. What is God speaking to you and what is He saying to you? It's not all right if He's dealing with you about your anger for you to be a little mad. It's not all right for you to be better than you were last year. Because He wants your thinking to be along with His thinking. Because He wants to conform you so that the love of God is coming out of you. The Word of God is coming out of you. The wisdom of God is coming out of you. But it won't if you're at your core still angry. How do you know if that's the case? How are you talking? What's coming out of your mouth? Glory to God. Glory to God. So it's important that we go before God, and our fellowship with God is like, Lord, I need you. And David said it this way, Lord, if there's any iniquity hidden in my heart, show me. Right? Show me. You know, he will. But what happens when he shows you? Changing it. How do we change it? We continually meditate on the Word of God, which keeps us planted, as in Psalm 1. It keeps us planted by the river where we're constantly nourished with His Word, right? Glory to God. Glory to God. We need to be specialists in the Word. I've got a couple more scriptures and we'll think about closing. Go to Psalm 92. I love this. If you don't like who you are right now, if you're not satisfied with where, and none of us should be totally satisfied, right? Because none of us have arrived, right? Well, I'm better than she is. Well, that doesn't matter. That's not who you're comparing yourself to. You're comparing yourself to him. That's where I want to be. I want to be more like him. Psalm 92. Watch this in verse 5. It says, O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. Your thoughts are very deep. And I love the fact that he wants to share those very deep thoughts with us. But you remember the parable of the talents. And the Lord was talking to and giving this parable. And he said, you know, those who act on what they have will be given more. But those who don't do what they're supposed to do with what I've given them, that'll be taken away and given to the one. You ain't getting my talents, Jack. Right? You're not getting my talents because I want to submit to what he wants me to do so that I can be in the place where I can be useful to him. And he does share his thoughts. But his thoughts mainly, watch this mainly. I'm not saying that he can't speak to your heart. I'm not saying that he can't prophesy. Other things can't happen. But the number one way that he speaks to you is right here. This is it. He's already shared you his thoughts. If he says something in his word, you don't need another opinion. If he said, don't steal, you say, but Lord, this time, right? I mean, this time it'd be a little bit easier on me if I could just steal that. And it's so easy, God. They won't even know that that's gone. Right? Now, you laugh at that, but there have been churches that have had their people embezzle thousands of dollars away from them with the thought that, well, that's not so bad. You see, we have to come with the standard that his word is right no matter what. And I will die doing what he says rather than not doing what he says. Okay, go to Psalm 139. And I'm fixing to close. Psalm 139. Oh, there's so much. I'm just going to read a few verses and then we'll go to verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and have known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? And he goes on and talks about that. And go down to, I've got to quit. So go down to verse 13. It says, "For you have formed my inner parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Here's the whole point of this. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your thoughts. He wants to change your core of thinking so that you can be more in line with what he has for you. And so that at the end of the day, you can fulfill the purpose that he created you for. Amen? Amen. As a man or a woman thinketh in her heart, so is she. You don't like who you are, change your thinking. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, God, for all of those that are here, all of those that are watching online. Lord, we just bless you and thank you. And Father, we're all works in progress. We're all got ways to go. But you're gracious to us, and you never give up on us. And I pray, Father, that you would just touch each person's heart. And the Holy Spirit, just change us from glory to glory. We're being exposed by your word. And Lord, we thank you that we come away more and more convinced that you have our best interest at heart. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Bless all of those that are watching online. If you've never been born again, what do I mean by that? I mean that you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. Today's the day, right? See, because we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And you may say to yourself, well, I'm a good person by whose standards? Because our goodness compared to his goodness, the Bible describes as filthy rags. And so he's holy. He is so holy that nothing can stand in his presence that isn't clean. The only way to get clean is through the blood of Jesus Christ, because none of us can attain it on our own. That's why Jesus had to come to die. But he did. And your part is to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. If you'll do that, the Bible says that you will be saved. So come to Jesus, but come to him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And love him in Jesus' name. God, bless those that are watching online. If there any sickness in their bodies, I ask you to touch them. I thank you for your presence here tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing upon it. And we receive with gladness your word in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Thanks for watching tonight. God bless you.